Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Franchise Essential Show on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Paul Segreto, and I'm joined by my co-host, the king of the franchise kingdom, the franchise king himself, Joel Labava.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joel. How are you today in the nice city of Cleveland, the home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Hey, we're doing good. It's 78 degrees, sunny, and still feels like summer. How about down there in Houston, Texas?
Oh, yeah, we got a cold front that came through last night. It's only 93 degrees today.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure by Joel's side is his ever-faithful protector of the kingdom, Winston, the franchise dog. Hey, what's up, Winston?
Winston is downstairs sleeping because I got mad at him. I got mad at him. Hey, is little Dolce by you, that little ankle biter?
Yes, I'm getting some insight on the world of social media from my own Dolce, the social media wonder dog.
Awesome.
Well, on today's show, we have a special guest, Linda Dachant, CEO and Managing Consultant at Strategic Growth Concepts. With Linda, Joel and I will be discussing mobile marketing and how to effectively use it within a franchise organization. As you know, Joel, I know Linda's written on your blog as well, and she has over 20 years corporate, franchise, and small business marketing experience. And at least in my eyes, she has some of the best insight into mobile marketing that I've seen. There are, as is always the case, there are many out there that profess they're professionals in mobile marketing, but few can deliver as Linda. So I'm really interested in learning more about mobile marketing myself. Joel, before diving into the show, I would like to thank the many people who commented on last week's commentary about texting and driving. Basically anything distracting and driving. The other day I had the pleasure of speaking with Barbara Green of Don't Twive. I always get a kick out of saying that, Don't Twive. And I'm really touched by her passion and vision for this cause. You know, I've posted questions about the subject on the LinkedIn Q&A forum, and I'm really pleased at the activity it's generated. In fact, you know, I always thought of distracted driving as we discuss teenagers and driving, and I know you have the princess at the kingdom that probably be driving in a couple of years, so you'll have something else to worry about.
Yeah, great.
But, you know, I found many companies through this Q&A, many companies actually have policy rules and guidelines about cell phone use while driving on company business as well. You know, come to think of it, I remember being on the campus of oil field services giant Schlumberger, and it was posted policy that any cell phone use in vehicles was prohibited on campus, whether you worked for them or not. If you were on campus, cell phone could not be in use. And I know the consequences for breaking the rules was severe because I know of a couple of contractors that had their contracts terminated for repeated cell phone use on campus. So anyway, thanks, Barbara, for introducing us to Don't Twive cause, and I look forward to continuing to work with you and help save some lives. Remember to Barbara's efforts. Follow Barbara's efforts on Twitter at Don't Twive. Well, Joel, you and I are getting close to reformatting and renaming the show, but, you know, of course, I still encourage any last-minute suggestions from our listeners. Have you received any new suggestions?
No, not even from Winston.
Not even from Winston. No, it's rough being a dog, right?
Yes, rough.
How corny.
We do have a marketing person on the air with us. Maybe she can give us some insight. But, you know, I like that bagel thing. I just don't know about the second part. I don't know.
The bagel and pasta franchise hour?
Yeah, or something.
Well,
I don't know.
Listen to the ones that I got. I received three suggestions over the last 48 hours. One suggested franchising at the crossroads. And another thought we should name the show. Get this. Another one thought we should name the show Franchising on the Verge. Now, there was one more, and I think it goes along with the bagel pasta franchise hour. This guy suggested The Franchise King and Godfather Show. Well, I know the last one's a joke. Hey, we can't talk about We can't talk about the family business on the air. You know, I know the last one was a joke, but you know, the first two really have me concerned. Crossroads and On the Verge. What do you think about that, Joel?
Crossroads is, I don't know, it's kind of cool sounding. I don't know if it really is the Crossroads. On the Verge is my daily life. I don't know if I want to be on the verge for an hour on Thursdays also.
What do you think the implication is, though, that people are referring to franchising at the Crossroads and franchising on the verge? I mean, on the verge of what?
On the verge of more transparency, darn it.
Well, I don't know. Well, anyway, we'll figure it out, and I know between you and I we're close to coming up with a new name, and I think in the next couple of weeks we'll have it formally in place. But what do you have coming up on the horizon? Any articles, speaking engagements, modeling? Or aren't you doing some professional modeling here and there?
I'm doing modeling. Thank you so much for catching me off guard with the modeling. Actually, only about an hour ago, hour and a half ago, my latest article over at the American Express Open Forum, which is openforum.com, and then you'll find the articles. I took a topic that is, shall we say, a lively debate is going on about it. I took on the topic of healthcare and how the healthcare reform will impact, if it flies, how it will impact your local franchise owner. So I think it did a pretty good job. Try to stay in the middle with the politics. But if you haven't seen it already, just go to openforum.com. And, man, they have some incredible writers. They just redid the website, and I'm very grateful to be a columnist on there. But the name of the article, and it will come up when you hit that, Will Healthcare Reform Crush Local Franchise Owners? I think it's a recommended read. I have some links to CNN and some other links, even one to Fox News. I'm trying to stay in the middle here. And how it relates to the healthcare reform stuff that's going to be coming up soon. So, yeah, that one just came out, and I'll have a couple more this month over Small Business Trends and another one that I can't mention yet.
Okay. Well, for once, at least you're staying in the middle. You're not one end or the other, right?
That's right. I'm trying. I'm a trying.
Well, I have a busy 2 months ahead of me. Next Thursday, September 10th, I'll be speaking to the Women's Franchise Network. And yes, that is an IFA activity.
And don't let everyone know. Go on.
That'll be at the International Center of Entrepreneurial Development's World Headquarters in Cypress, Texas, just outside of Houston. You know, they referred to that campus, as they said last week, as the Northwest Forest. I mean, Joel, you ever come down to Houston, you got to spend some time out there. It's wonderful.
Are there really trees?
Oh, there's trees. It is just beautiful.
I lived in West Texas for a couple of years, and there weren't no trees there.
Well, West Texas might as well just be North Mexico.
Hey. I couldn't anyway. Help it, man. It was like my first radio job, man. What can I do?
Anyway, I'll be joining Profit Soup, who will be discussing the profit pinch, while I'll be discussing the social media e-idea. Now, speaking of ICED, International Center of Entrepreneurial Development, I'd like to congratulate Deb Evans, CEO at Computer Explorers. As guest watch, Joel, she was recently appointed to the ICED Board of Directors.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's really great. And, of course, let's not forget the great veteran support program that Computer Explorers is starting next week. And I know more information can be found on my blog, as well as your blog, at the franchise blog, the4vets.com. Hey, got that right.
Hey, pretty good. Just don't screw up the other one.
There you go. You mean thefranchisekingblog.com? I won't screw it up anymore. You know, following week, and then for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to be presenting the development track of the Frantelligence webinar series, while Ginny Dietrich, our Armin Dietrich CEO up in Chicago, will be presenting the marketing track. We're working with the guys over at Franchise Business Review, And I'm personally, Joe, I'm real excited to be part of this this very detailed series because I think it's going to help franchisors a lot. So I think everybody needs to get on the horn, register for the event that starts on, let's see, September 15th. By the way, you know, did you happen to see Ginny's article on her blog site, Fight Against Destructive Spin? It came out last night.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
What's the name of the what's the blog link there so I can
Well, actually, it's at www.spinsucks.com. And the title of the article, you know, Ginny gets a little passionate about things, and she wrote about why not allowing staff to speak publicly is idiotic. She really takes a shot at some old-timers in the PR and marketing industry. And
cool.
An interesting read. Yeah. You know, I just found out, just as I was coming on the show and seeing it on Facebook, Ginny is speaking to a NASCAR group right now, and they asked her the question, is it okay to text and drive? I don't think going 180 miles an hour you should be texting and driving. What do you think?
I do not text and drive. That's all I can tell you. I wouldn't. I think it's nuts.
Well, I have one more thing on the horizon. In October, I'll be participating in another webinar. This one should be real interesting. Growing Your Franchise in Today's Climate. That's being presented by Catherine Harris at Open Box Integration, Inc. She's the president, CEO, and founder. Her and I have had numerous discussions about franchise failure and success and the factors surrounding both and how strong communications and accountability, get this, on franchisee buy-in greatly impacts franchise growth. We'll be discussing that in detail. It's an hour and a half webinar, and that's on October 19th. And, of course, you can find any information about me and about Joel on our respective websites. Joel's at thefranchisekingblog.com, and my site is fmdpro.com. Joel, in the world of franchise blogging, what the heck is going on?
Well, it is Legal Thursday because most of the stuff on there has to do with some of the legalities on franchise, starting off with Rush on Business, who is a Rush Nugget is a franchise attorney who I've gotten to know over the past year and a half or two, based in Iowa. He's got a really, really cool-looking blog called RushOnBusiness.com. And he linked to something called Navigate the Internet's Legal Minefield. And this is something that we better be careful with. It's all about Internet law and what we should be writing about and talking about and just kind of being careful. He talks about the 80-20 rule. And 20% of the effort, you can learn 80% of what you need to know when it comes to Internet legalities. There's a book called Cyber Law, A Legal Arsenal for Online Businesses, and it's a great place to start, and you and I should probably grab it, even though we're on internet radio, so why not? So that's kind of an interesting thing, and, you know, we're so darn busy with this social media and internet space that I think sometimes we forget that there are some legalities, and even we have to be careful.
Interesting. That's very interesting. Mm. And that's on rushonbusiness.com?
Yeah, yeah. He's a really, really good guy, very outspoken, very franchisee-friendly.
Right. Awesome.
Yeah.
I'll take a look at it. What else is going on in the blogging world?
Sean Kelly, the strength over at Franchise Picks, wrote about Play and Trade. And I didn't even know there was real. Well, I guess I did. I saw it a couple months ago. Actually, I think in April he started writing about this. Did you know that the state of California has suspended the Play and Trade franchise registration?
Wow.
That's pretty huge. I mean, video gaming is massive. I mean, I don't play it. I have a couple nephews that are pretty much online more than me with headphones, and they're talking to all their friends all over the country and playing online games at the same time. You know, this retail store, Play and Trade, is a pretty big franchise, and they have some activations there. So you might want to read that over at Franchise Pick. It's www.franchisepick.com. Sean Kelly, who has lately been the kind of the franchise police, kind of some interesting stuff. So if you want to know about play and trade and why the massive state of California said you can't sell any more franchises in our state, go to franchisetick.com. So kind of a cool story.
Well, I guess they won't be playing and trading anymore. Sean writes a great blog.
Yeah, he's pretty
Sean.
Funny guy.
Anyway, you know, something, you know, when you sent me over your notes about different blog articles today, I noticed you didn't make mention of the one on Blue Mau Mau about our the people at Francorp. Did you happen to see that one?
No, I didn't.
About
Don't you do stuff with Francorp?
No, absolutely not. I see that they...
Are you sure?
Yeah, they reported on Blue Mau Mau that Mr. Borian over there at Francorp
had
a rather large I can't even say it. I guess I'll
never. Man, what? What are you talking
Internal
about, dude?
Revenue Service amount due for unpaid taxes.
Really?
Yeah. Go to Blue
Someone
Mau Mau.
Someone from Francorp?
Yeah.
Owes money on taxes?
Imagine that.
Hey,
Joe, on a positive note, I see that the Franchise King blog has a new franchise of the month, and give me a little clip about it.
Oh, a little snippet? The franchise of the month this month is none other than Great Clips out of Minnesota, and the Minnesota franchises tend to do pretty well, but... Clips is a pretty incredible franchisor. I think there are over 3,000 different Great Clips salons all over the country. My late father and I, this full disclosure, my late father and I helped sell out Great Clips in Northeast Ohio, and I had the pleasure of doing many things with Great Clips. And I got to tell you, they have an earnings claim. They put everything out front. And let me tell, for any franchisors that are listening now, let me give you a kind of a free tip. Great Clips is such a strong franchise organization that they have the courage to say no and to not award franchises to certain people. If they don't feel that people are going to be great franchises in the system and for whatever reason, they will turn them down. It happened to me a couple times with a couple people I brought to the table. I think that's good stuff, and I think more franchisors need to have the courage to tell prospective franchise owners, you know what? I don't think it's a fit. So, pretty impressive organization. They're well over 3,000 franchises, and they have a really cool new website just for the franchise candidates. So, if you just go to the franchisingblog.com, I think it's the second or third article down. And actually, you know what? The front one, the first one, talks about Great Clips. If you really, really want to learn from the best, these guys are great. So there you go, Great Clips.
Well, that's great. You know, ironically, I have one of my own this month, and that's V's Barbershop. V's was founded by Jim Valenzuela, an old-time barbershop franchise combining nostalgia and style with the best modern amenities available. They even have old-time barber chairs. Remember them?
Oh, yeah. I was always scared of them.
Well, I'd like to congratulate V's founder, Jim Valenzuela, as he was named one of the best-dressed men of 2009 by Trends Magazine. You know, you can
really
tell by looking at him, at Jim's attention to detail and his passion for excellence, because the same philosophies and vision is embedded within the V's Barbershop franchise system. Joel, I think this is one of those unique, innovative franchises that pop up out of nowhere every once in a while, but become so great that we'll wonder down the road what we would have done without it. For more information, please visit their website at vsbarbershop.com. You know, Joel, it's almost ironic that we're talking today about mobile marketing at a time when we've been discussing the dangers of texting and driving. I got to talk to our producer about this type of scheduling in the future. So what I'd like to do is emphasize that cell phones should only be looked at when you stop driving, not while driving. And, oh, that doesn't mean at a stoplight. It means when you stop and you've reached your destination. Now, with that, It's my great pleasure to welcome Linda Deschamps, CEO at Strategic Growth Concepts, to our show. Linda, welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, that's probably a little bit more than Joel and I.
Hey, Linda.
What was that, Joel?
Yeah, I was going to tell Linda. I told Paul this morning with our little pre-briefing call in the green room that it is so cool that Linda's talking about mobile marketing, first of all, because I have no idea what it is or how it works, and second of all, because I for my 50th birthday, I received a BlackBerry. And it's something, one of those would have, should have. I wish I would have got it a year ago, but I wasn't ready yet. This thing is awesome, but I am now using it for my business line, and it's also my cell phone. I got rid of my AT&T and just have this. So I'm doing a lot more stuff on the cell phone, and I have a feeling that is our future.
Yeah, absolutely.
It absolutely is the future. As a matter of fact, here's some interesting statistics that'll give you some perspective. There are currently 272 million mobile phone users in the U.S. That's 89% of our population. And of those phones, 99% of them are text-capable. So certainly your anti-texting while driving campaign is certainly appropriate. And because 57% of those 99% are texting on a regular basis. So cell phone is definitely here to stay. 84% of people who have them will not leave home without them. I know myself personally, I have gone back home for mine when I've forgotten it once in a while.
Yeah, I have as well. You know, Linda, the time when businesses are scraping and clawing for the next customer, you know, trying to grow their business, some trying, you know, of course, to survive. We hear about various types of marketing, you know, traditional, non-traditional, guerrilla marketing. I mean, I even have, you know, my own program, Get Off Your Ass Marketing. And, of course, now you're here to discuss mobile marketing. So tell us, real quick, what is mobile marketing?
It's actually very simple. Mobile marketing is marketing to people via their cell phone. In other words, sending messages that you want them to receive and or act on to their cell phones, because that is the best way to reach them today, because as I just indicated by those statistics, very few people are not carrying their cell phone with them all the time. Even at the time they go to bed, it's usually on the nightstand next to them.
What are the benefits of mobile marketing within a franchise system? Because I know you've done a lot of work with franchise systems. So what makes it a little different with a franchise system than other companies?
Well, I think one of the things as it specifically applies to franchising is the fact that it is something that enables you to have a standardization of your communication. Because obviously with all of the rules and regulations involved in franchising, you want to make sure that any messages that you're putting out are consistent. It gives you a platform by which you can communicate with potential franchisees or current franchisees, as well as customers, obviously. But I think one of the things that franchises need to think about are all of the possibilities for communicating with the franchisees and potential franchisees specifically, in addition to the customers.
Interesting. That is very interesting. Now, are there several types of mobile marketing, or is it all lumped in at one time?
Now, there's a lot of different kinds of mobile marketing. The one that I'm sure that everyone is most familiar with, it's called SMS, short message service. You would know it as texting. And that is the one that most people are familiar with. It's the one that most people use. But there's a number of other different opportunities, depending upon what it is you're trying to get across. There's another one called MMS, which is Multimedia Message Service. And basically, it's sending an attachment through the text. You can send a photo or a video or a link to a website, that sort of thing. And so it enables you to use multimedia capabilities through either the text or through email on your cell phone. Another one would be mobile web applications. So in other words, you receive that link, and that link takes you to a website that is specifically designed to be able to be accessed via the phone, and it allows you to do certain things. You can do things like, you know, registering for a contest or registering to receive information. So in the case of a franchise, maybe somebody happens to see an advertisement, they're out and about, but they're interested in learning more about your franchise. If you've got a mobile website that they can access from their phone, they can access it and they can register to receive franchise information right from their phone, just like they would going to a website via their computer. So those are some of the most familiar ones. Obviously, there's voice messaging as well that you don't think of in terms of advertising, but obviously it's a capability of a cell phone. So that's one I think that will probably start to have some growth as well. And there's quite a few others, but they're a little more complicated and definitely not as well known.
Well, it's amazing how interactive things are getting, because right now I received 4 emails about one of us typing on our keyboards as we were talking. So people can hear that. It's amazing. One of them said, I think somebody's sending Morse code that can't get out of the closet. Hey, Joel.
Winston,
you
told you about that. Winston, stop.
Well,
okay,
you know, he wanted me to take the tape off his mouth, and I did, and then he started screaming, so I put the tape back on, and now he's doing Morse code. So, hey, Joel, you had a question about the federal laws that require people to opt into email campaigns. Linda, is that also the case for mobile marketing campaigns?
Absolutely, and in fact, in some ways, it's a lot more stringent through mobile marketing because the carriers, you know, the Sprint, the Verizon, the T-Mobiles, and Altels, all of those, they're the ones who actually sort of serve as the conduit for making that messaging happen, and they are very conscious of that because they can be penalized if messaging goes out to which somebody has not opted in and they start getting complaints. They can be fined. They can have different sorts of punishments that they can receive. So they are very, very conscious of enforcing those rules and regulations. And you not only have to make sure that people have opted in to receive the messaging, they have to have opted in to receive it on an ongoing basis, if you're planning on doing it on an ongoing basis, or they have to have opted in just to receive a single message from you. It's all in how you word it. You also have to give them the capability of opting out in every message that you give them. So, yeah, the rules are pretty stringent, and it's interesting because you have to accomplish all of that in 160 characters. So it's a challenging medium, but it's an extremely effective medium.
Okay, so there is a limit on the number of characters. I wasn't aware of that.
If you're doing it as a text, yes. Now, obviously, if you're sending somebody a link to a mobile website, then no, you don't have those kinds of limitations. You just need to make sure that that mobile website is configured to be able to be seen and used effectively on a variety of mobile devices. But, yeah, if you're planning on doing texting, which is the most common, then, yes, you are limited to the characters that you can use.
Now, is mobile marketing, I mean, is it something that franchisors could try to do themselves? Can they pick up, you know, mobile marketing for dummies that, you know, either even Joel and I would understand? Or is it something that they need to turn to somebody that's experienced in mobile marketing?
I would say 10 years from now, it might be something that they'll be able to do from themselves. But at this point, because it's such a new medium and because there's so many different levels of expertise that are really needed, I would not suggest doing it on your own. There are some platforms that you can sign up for that will allow you to have some capabilities in that way, but even those are challenging for someone who is not familiar with the medium and the rules and regulations. I wouldn't suggest it until it's something that you've done for a while.
Well, you know, just like, you know, social media marketing, where a lot of people think they could do it themselves and do it effectively, the same thing is probably true in their thought process about mobile marketing. But, you know, it all comes down to price. They always presume and assume that the price to have a professional take care of this stuff is prohibitively expensive, and therefore they try to do it themselves or get their secretary to do it in their spare time. You know, how cost-effective is mobile marketing? Or a better question is that probably everybody wants to know is, how expensive is mobile marketing?
Mobile marketing is extremely inexpensive. It depends on which type of mobile marketing you're doing, but let's say, for example, that you're doing the texting, which is the most basic kind. Depending upon, you know, how you're doing it, how many messages you're sending at one time and how many times you're doing it, you can sign up for various levels of contracts and that sort of thing. You could get it as cheap as 3 or 4 cents a message. Typically, it's probably going to be more around 10 or 12 cents a message, but it's extremely cost-effective, and it's extremely effective as far as responsiveness, because there are documented cases where people have used mobile marketing and have actually achieved 54% return rates.
Wow. That's certainly
wow.
far greater than direct mail, right, Joel?
Yeah, that's pretty strong.
Yeah, absolutely. Your typical direct mail is 2 to 3% if you're lucky.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, what kind of results can a franchise organization expect? I mean, is 54%, you know, the norm? Is it above average? I mean, is that a one-time thing? I mean, what can franchise organizations expect?
Yeah, that is way above average. I would say that your average response is probably going to be somewhere in the range of 12 to 18%. But again, compared to direct mail that is 2 to 3%, that's still extremely high. And direct mail is much more costly and much more time-consuming. You have to have things printed in advance. You have to have them designed. You know, there's all this time involved. There's all this money. There's postage to deal with. Normally, a direct mail campaign takes weeks at minimum to implement effectively. And, you know, a mobile marketing campaign, you could have done in a couple of days.
Hmm. Well, give us some examples of how different types of franchises might use mobile marketing, or, you know, how some franchise companies have actually used it, if you have some of those examples.
Well, fast food is a big one that's using it. There's a number of them. That 54% return rate that I was mentioning to you, that was Popeye's Chicken. They had registered people that were interested in receiving special offers from them, and over the course of a period of time, and they sent some special offers out. I don't remember what the specific offer was that they sent that achieved the 54%, but it's something now that they're doing on a regular basis. They're sending out discount coupons, and basically, instead of having to cut out a coupon and remember to take it with you, it's on your cell phone. And you always have your cell phone, so if you happen to be by Popeye's and remember that you have that coupon and you're hungry, you stop in and you use it. Another one that is using it is Subway. Some Subways have experimented with technology that actually can, it's via Bluetooth, that lets you actually drive by their restaurant, and if you have registered that you are interested in receiving messages from them and you are near their restaurant, their technology can actually sense that you are there and send a message to your phone.
But it is something they have to register for.
Absolutely.
Okay, so it's not like we could just blast it and everybody within, you know, a two-block radius is going to get the message. They have to be opted in.
That's correct. They must be opted in.
Okay, and most of the time, I guess that occurs at the store level or online. They could do it depending on how the company set it up.
There's a variety of ways to do it. I mean, again, it just like any other marketing method, it's all about strategic planning. The thing about mobile is it works best with something else. I mean, it can work best with a billboard. You're driving down the road and it says, text this number to receive a coupon for this. And all it takes is seconds to see it, and you can text it and receive it. And it can be that simple and that quick. Or it can work with a television ad. I mean, think American Idol. That's how they vote on American Idol, is through mobile marketing.
So when you hear that and you type that in, basically you've opted in.
Correct.
Okay.
You'll receive a message back that says, confirm that you want to receive messages. So it usually is about a two-step process. You'll text in something to a certain number.
See, I hear that guy doing Morse code again. Joel, is that guy trying to get out of your closet again?
Who is he?
I don't know. I keep hearing the Morse code. I think it said, let me out, please let me out. I don't like the food here. And I figured that would be it in Cleveland, not down here with me.
Maybe.
Well, you know what? I'm guilty. I was just putting it out on Twitter that we're having this fantastic discussion of mobile marketing.
Okay.
I will try to be quieter.
You probably ought to text it. It probably could be quieter that way.
I'm just kind of a pounder. Go on.
Sorry, Linda. Go right ahead.
Sorry.
Where was I? I don't remember.
Using it with different things, and I had asked. You know, I noticed, you know, like last week I was at Minute Maid Park watching the Astros, as they're faltering down the stretch. So I guess when they say up on the screen, you know, they ask a question and they say type in such and such. I mean, obviously that's a form of mobile marketing.
Absolutely, because I guarantee you they're recording all that and building a database, and all of those people who did text into that number will have gotten a confirmation message back saying, are you opting in for us to be able to send you something in future, basically. And that's how they build the database.
So they are using it for just like we would, you know, any type of list, as long as they opt in for future stuff. And
absolutely.
The same thing holds true online with some of these surveys we put in. Then at the end, you know, do you want to receive further information? And basically, you're opting into those type of situations.
Exactly.
And obviously, I see things really progressing in this. You know, you and I had a conversation not too long ago. We were talking about different type of wireless franchises and stores. And we had discussed Best Buy really entering that foray in the future. Well, the other day was the grand opening of a small retail store called Best Buy Wireless.
Yep.
And it was a Best Buy wireless store. That's all they had. It was right there in the middle of the mall. It was packed. And I think the days of the AT&T and Mobile One and Verizon kiosks might be a thing of the past, because people sure were flocking into that Best Buy wireless store.
Well, it's going that direction. I mean, the interesting thing about it, for so long, mobile has been driven by the carriers. And, you know, if you look at a lot of surveys that are available, the customer service satisfaction rates with the carriers, frankly, none of them are all that high. There's a lot of confusion in the process. It's a very difficult type of business to be in. And the direction of it is changing in that consumers, because the plans are all so similar no matter what. I mean, as much as they try to differentiate themselves and name them different things and include different kinds of minutes, there's literally several million plans, but they're all the same, that consumers are looking at this and going, okay, it doesn't really matter what carrier I go with. What I really care about is, what is the capabilities on my phone? What can I do with this thing? And so which one should I buy? And so they want that choice in the device. They want accessories that make it available to them to do a lot more things with, like putting in a little chip that's like you would use a CD in a computer. There's memory chips that you can put into your phone that allow you to put content and programming into your phone. All those things are capable now. And the phone is going to eventually become the new computer. I mean, it's very close to that now, especially with some of the smartphones like the BlackBerries and the Palms. So, you know, consumers are going to demand change, and that's going to lead to a lot more multi-carrier stores where they're going to represent every carrier, and it's just going to be a matter of who has the best coverage in your geographic area. That's who you sign up for. The plans that you're going to get are all going to be the same, and you're going to be able to put any device on any plan with any carrier at some point in the future. I truly, having been in the business, I truly do believe that is the direction it is going.
Wow, and Joel just made the investment on a BlackBerry, and I got away from a BlackBerry and a smartphone, and I got my little AT&T prepaid Go phone here because I don't think I'm on it but 15 minutes a month.
Yes, but I can tell you from having wanted to text you a few times on short notice about things, it's been frustrating that you don't have that capability.
Yeah, but I'm right on the computer.
Yeah, but it's not always as instantaneous as the cell phone would be.
Well, I have text on here. I just got to pay through the nose for it because I don't use it. And if you're expecting me to text something back, you're going to have to wait a very, very long time. If you think Joel pecks away at the keyboard, you should see me try to peck these fat fingers on a little cell phone.
I'll tell you. My daughter, she's 13, the franchise princess herself, and she could be the fastest texting princess this side of the Mississippi. I mean, these kids nowadays are so fast. Now, I will text her back, but it takes me so darn long. I don't have, like, fat fingers, but I'm not – if you can hear me chopping at the keyboard in the background, you can tell I'm not that good at typing. For as much writing as I do, I probably should take a lesson. But I mean, I don't like texting. But you know what? It's one of those things. Okay, I have it. I paid for it, you know.
Right. I know my daughters are very proficient texters, and they send messages to my wife all the time. My wife is – very inept at texting, and she'll start, and by the time she even gets two words down, they're sending her more, and then they're responding. I mean, by the time she gets through to one, they've already sent seven or eight messages, and then they ask the question, what are you answering? Because they already forgot, you know, eight messages ago. It is a changing world. Linda, thanks again for your time and the great information about mobile marketing. Now, how could our listeners learn more about mobile marketing, about you, and about your organization's strategic growth concepts?
Well, the easiest way would be to go to our website at www.strategicgrowthconcepts.com. We have a large section on the website that is specifically about mobile marketing that I think they'll find very useful. And then, of course, we have information there on how they can contact us directly for questions or if they would like some assistance putting a mobile marketing program together. But if it's just for questions, we're still happy to answer those as well.
And do you have any type of offer for anybody listening to the show?
I do. If they are going to contact us and indicate that they would like to put a program together, if they indicate that they heard us on your show, we will give them a free one-hour consultation.
Great. Joel, do you have any last thoughts on mobile marketing?
Yeah, I would like to get paid. Hopefully you can find the person that does this. I want to be the guy that's paid to say at the end of these things that you see on TV, messaging minutes or whatever might be charged. What is that one, Paul, where they say you might have to pay for text that you do?
Messages are going to cost you as per the plan that you've signed up for.
Yeah, but there's a phrase that I always hear, and it's hilarious, and I think I should be the voice for it. I'll find it out. I'll find out what it says exactly.
You mean like the one at the end of the car commercials that, you know, all the fine print they try to say, like that guy used to say on the FedEx commercial?
Yeah.
You
know, you know what? The one on American Idol. You know, when you're supposed to text, what does that guy always say? Standard messaging things might apply or whatever. Anyway, I messed that up. What can I tell you? You know what I mean.
Yeah, standard messaging rates apply.
Yeah.
Linda, I know you have to go because you have another engagement, and I appreciate the time you spent with us today. And, again, look for Linda's information, and we'll link it on the our various blog sites as well. And, matter of fact, on the right side of my blog, you'll see under different resources, small business resources and franchise resources, strategic growth concepts. And also you'll see Linda on occasion on my blog at fmdpro.com as a guest author, and I really appreciate it. Linda, have yourself a great day.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me, and have a good rest of your show, guys.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Joel, it's a changing world. That's for
sure. Big time.
Big time.
Big time. Big time.
Let's shift into high gear and talk about franchising. I posted on LinkedIn the other day, and I saw you responded, in the Q&A section, what are the three most important questions that should be asked when considering a franchise opportunity?
Yes, I remember seeing that one, and yes, I remember actually answering it, which was kind of cool. You have about eight or nine responses?
Actually, I was just looking, and it's up to 18 responses. And what amazes me is that, you know, yeah, sometimes the obvious, I mean, you know, a lot of people have responded and said, you know, what is the franchise fee and royalty fee? I think, I don't know, I don't agree with that being one of the first three, one of the three questions I would ask. I mean, obviously, you can get that information in the FDD, but, you know, everybody talks about, most people talk about that. What are the fees, royalties and fees, ad fees, what startup fees, franchise fees, and they go on and on. There was an interesting one from a gentleman who said the six questions, and again, and maybe I should have been a little bit more clear. Someone told me that I was perfectly vague in my question by saying, you know, I didn't put it towards franchisees or franchisors or businessmen looking to use franchising as an expansion strategy. So I got some from people that looked at it from the franchisor standpoint, and the question they would ask is, do you mind buying a job?
Hello.
Does the franchise you're considering work well within your geographic region of the country? I agree with that.
Yeah.
Have you spoken at length with at least six current owners of the franchise you're interested in?
More than six, baby. I always tell the people I work with at least 10, if not 15, if you can.
Okay, well, let me throw this at you, and I know it's something we didn't discuss, so I apologize, not really, for throwing you this curveball.
Curveball.
What happens when one of your clients, a franchise candidate, someone considering a franchise, expresses interest in a startup that only has one or two locations?
I tell them good luck. I mean, bluntly, I don't work with startup franchises that only have one or two. I don't have the courage to work for, I don't have the courage to present it to any of my candidates. Someone told me once, you know, someone always has to be first. I just don't want to be the first, and I don't want my candidates to be the first. You know, I need it to be a little more proven. Not that there's anything wrong with the startup franchise. You know, you have to go with your gut.
Right.
But I don't work with pure startup franchisors, it's just not in my makeup.
I see. And so you wouldn't deal with somebody that wanted to get in with a startup? All right. Well,
I would coach them. I would coach them the best I could. But you know, that's a challenge, man. It's a tough one.
At what level do you think that they're past the startup?
10, maybe 12 franchisees.
Okay.
That's what I like to see.
We got. Now, we had received some that, you know, actually got into, you know, do you have your own business plan and independent assessment of the market for your supplies or services? And I thought that was kind of that definitely told me it was from some type of consultant. What is the culture of the organization?
That's a good one.
That is a good one. And is the system validated? And then, of course, they go on to, you know, is the system making money, which really, you know, obviously gets into earnings claims and stuff of that nature. But here's one that from a franchise executive, and I guess this is from the franchisor asking the franchisee, do you have the requisite capital to sufficiently fund the franchise you are considering?
Okay.
And then based on your due diligence, can you estimate a return on investment, cash or cash-on-cash return that meets your requirements and risk tolerance? And then, of course, do you have what it takes to run the franchise business you are considering?
Is that a franchisor to potential franchisee question?
I think it would be somebody maybe consulting with a franchise candidate. Not necessarily a franchisor.
Okay.
There's some interesting answers on here, and a lot of them that I hadn't thought about, but certainly a lot of them of a very simple nature, because a lot of them are referring to royalty fees and franchise fees and co-op fees and stuff of that nature. And I encourage everybody that's listening, you know, to share in this. As I said, we're up to 18 questions on here, and it's always interesting to see what's going on when people are responding to stuff like this. I also posted on there not too long ago, let me find this one, it had to do, of course, with franchising. Let's see here. Startups, do we really need them? I mean, you just mentioned you're not comfortable with startups. And with so many businesses starting up nowadays, I mean, it's a hypothetical question. The question was posed by an MBA student. I know it's not practical to answer, but are startups a necessity? Do we really need them?
Yeah, we need them. It just depends. Put it like this, and this is no offense to the future pizza chain startups, but hello, how many more pizza franchises do we need? I mean, that kind of startup. To me is insanity. First of all, why would you want to compete in that space? What is so special about your pizza? Hello, it's round or it's square, right?
Or deep dish or a thin.
Whatever, you know. So, but I'm not opposed to startups. You know, nothing wrong with a good startup. You know, I tend to be a little cautious.
Yeah, here's one a question that we received, or a question that I posed, and we received a lot of responses to too. How responsible are franchisees for their own success or failure? You know, I went on to write, too often than not, franchisees are of the mindset that they've bought into a franchise system and just need to sit back and wait for the business to flow through their doors. Have you ever heard of franchisees doing that, Joel?
Occasionally. It happens.
It does. You know, sometimes it's basically ignorance and perception that clouds their thoughts. I mean, we know that. And sometimes it's the thinking that the brand name they've invested in, that should be enough to, you know, generate instant business to their location.
That's right. I totally agree.
Yeah, but most of the time, you know, it's just plain old, you know, sometimes, I mean, it is plain old arrogance that gets in the way. I mean, especially, you know, with a substantial investment, you know, with some of these franchise concepts where they're spending $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $800,000, $1 million. And they believe that just by making that investment should be the sole reason for their success. And, you know, so it comes down to the basis of, you know, their financial commitment. And when they feel they make that type of substantial commitment and stick their neck out on the line for that type of potential risk, a lot of times they feel that the franchisor is solely responsible for making them succeed. I mean, almost to the point of wanting them to guarantee their success.
Yeah, I've heard that before. I paid all this money, you know, they're not finding me business. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, I responded and I said, you know, well, it's not the franchisor's responsibility under any circumstances for making sure that the franchisees succeed. I mean, certainly the franchisor, you know, must provide the franchisees with a proven system, field-tested tools, la-di-da, that when utilized diligently and effectively, and, you know, Joe, I think that's the key, you know, using them diligently and effectively, not half-assed, you know, like, that should provide them with the foundation for success. You know, I'm sure,
right,
like
right.
You talked about, you know, great clips, you know, certainly without good proven systems in place, they wouldn't have got to 3,000 locations.
Yeah, they're doing something right.
Yeah, they're doing something right. But, you know, it's just that. You know, they start out, they build a foundation, they have the systems in place, and not only the system in place, but also to monitor the franchisee's progress, you know, provide additional training, guidance, and further the overall development of the brand, which, you know, of course we know contributes to solidifying that foundation. But, you know, as detailed and as comprehensive as all that sounds, and, you know, I talked earlier about the upcoming webinar that I'll be involved with Catherine Harris at Openbox regarding franchisee success and failure. You know, a lot of times, you know, you can provide everything that you can. You can be as detailed and comprehensive as possible. And sometimes it's still not enough for most franchisees to succeed without their own desire, without their own drive, their own determination. And I know, and we do a lot of writing, and we throw a lot of words out there, but it comes down to more than just words. It comes down to actual action more than anything. And I think a lot of franchisees or people exploring franchising really need to take a hard look at themselves before they invest in a franchise and say, Am I willing to do whatever it takes to make this franchise a success? I know when we're having a hard time paying the bills, we don't have anybody out there saying, "Oh, we're going to make you successful," right, Joel? It's you and I
are
collecting and selling and doing everything humanly possible to make it happen.
That's right. That's right. And it's been a rough stretch. So
yeah.
Business is better. Business is better now, but it's been a rough stretch and. No one holding my hand.
Well, you know, you mentioned rough. Was that Winston's quote?
No, but actually, he's staring me down, man. He wants his dinner.
It's only 3 o'clock
and
up there.
That's when he eats, man. He's a machine. You don't. This guy will eat glass. He doesn't care.
Is he a senior citizen?
He's 7, but he's always he just eats like a pig. Always did. He doesn't care.
I figured he was like one of these senior citizens looking for the early bird special.
No, for him it's always an early bird special. He just likes to eat.
Well, Joel, I know I just heard our famous or infamous voice from Blog Talk Radio say we have 90 seconds left in the show. Is there anything else you would like to add before we have to call this one a day as well?
Oh, you know what? Real quick, I'd love some votes. I put a poll on the Franchise King blog asking for some topic suggestions, and I could use a few more votes. Right now, the two topic choices that are winning out are discussing new franchise opportunities and discussing tips for franchisees. So anyone else that'll take 30 seconds to do, did you fill it in yet, Paul?
No, I haven't. And what site is that on?
TheFranchiseKingBlog.com. There's a poll. It's about the third post down.
Okay, great. Everybody get on there and take a look at it. Well, Joel, As I said, we're running out of time. I'd like again to thank Linda Dacian for being on today's show. I know it certainly helped me better understand mobile parking.
Yeah.
And Joel, as always, you know, all kidding aside, I thank you for being my co-host and sharing your infinite wisdom. And I look for many, many, many shows together in the future.
Yes, me too. Let's rock and roll.
Rock and roll. All right, everybody, this is Paul Segreto and Joel Labava saying goodbye from Franchise Essentials on Blog Talk Radio. Until next week, bye.